Welcome to the Strategy Driven Podcast, Validate the Extremes. Hi, I'm Nathan Ives. Along with my co-host, Karen Giuliano, we would like to welcome you to this edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, Validate the Extremes. The Strategy Driven Podcast focuses on the tools and techniques executives and managers can use to improve their organization's alignment and accountability to ultimately achieve better results. These podcasts elaborate on the best practice and warning flag posts found on the Strategy Driven website at www.strategydriven.com. This podcast examines the best practice of validating model extremes, thereby ensuring model output is reasonable and consistent with known realities, enhancing decision-making and organizational direction setting by managers and executives. And so now, without any further delay, let's get started. Karen, welcome to the Strategy Driven Podcast. For our listeners, we are joined for this episode by Karen Giuliano, our Strategy Driven Editor-in-Chief and Director of Communications and Marketing. She'll be sitting in for Howard while he is off for the evening. So welcome.
Hello.
So we appreciate your joining us tonight for our podcast. Shall we just kick it off and get started?
Okay. Nathan, in the last two podcasts, you and Howard discussed both the benefits and the risks of using models in the performance of strategic analysis. The risks you talked about have been about using models in general. In this podcast, I believe we're going to highlight the very specific risk of receiving and acting on extreme model results.
Well, that's right, Karen. You see, no model can perfectly represent a particular situation, and it's just really because there are just too many variables to consider in the complex work and business environment that exists today. Therefore, modelers make assumptions about the circumstances for which their models represent, assumptions that tend to be generally correct, but at times aren't fully representative of a particular situation. And it's during these times that models may return unexpectedly large or small values, which, if acted upon, can lead to rather adverse consequences.
Okay, Nathan. Before we get started, let me outline for our listeners what we're going to talk about during this podcast.
Okay.
First, we'll examine why and under what circumstances models generate less accurate results. Next, we'll provide an example to illustrate this kind of output, which could lead decision makers to forego taking appropriate action. Finally, we'll discuss the questions analysts should ask to prevent being misled by extreme model output.
Hey, that sounds great to me.
Well, then let's get started.
Okay.
So, Nathan, let's explore in more depth why models might provide misleading information.
Well, Karen, today's intricate organizations and fast-paced business environments in which they operate have unprecedented complexity. To help explain past occurrences and predict future outcomes, analysts employ complex algorithms and visual models to synthesize and process the vast amounts of information that are available, and to do so in a way that provides meaningful information that our organizational leaders can then use to devise the company's direction. But no matter how complex the algorithms, all mathematical models contain some basic background assumptions that are not always correct. For example, assumptions regarding the rate of consumption of a particular commodity, like oil, will result in a given set of predictions of the price of gas and subsequently the price of shipping products to market like food products, which in turn impacts the final price of food consumers pay at the supermarket. If the global rate of consumption of oil is higher than expected and demand doesn't rise to accommodate, if supply doesn't rise to accommodate this demand, the price of oil and subsequently gas and transportation costs and then food will go up faster than predicted by the model. This particular example, not accurately forecasting global consumption of oil, prevented many organizations, both public and private, from taking preventive action to compensate for the rising prices in gas that we're seeing today. Now, one area that can prove to be a particular weakness for models is their assumption of a normal result distribution, sometimes referred to as a bell curve, and their subsequent over-reliance on average values. It's this reliance on averages that in turn tends to mute out impactful occurrences at the extreme of performance ranges.
So it sounds like validating the extremes may not be just the extreme in terms of data ranges.
Well, that's right, Karen. Analysts should certainly validate the extremes in terms of high and low ends of the data output range. But they should also validate any output that appears to be exceedingly high or low, regardless of where it appears within the data range, and any excessively high or low assumptions that are built into the model. In our oil example, it was a rather extreme assumption that in a world with a fixed amount of oil, a growing population, and a rapid development in the most populated regions of the world, that oil prices would not go up.
Okay, but how often does this really happen?
Well, believe it or not, it happens all the time. Consider for a moment the myriad of business news programs whose analysts continually examine the same business environment but often reach very different conclusions.
I think we can all relate to that. It's hard to find any two analysts on TV that agree with each other. And I guess it's just because depending on if they're bullish or bearish on the economy, they'll apply different assumptions to their financial models and get different results, right?
Exactly.
Well, how about giving our listeners an example of the need to validate an extreme for an internal performance measure?
Okay. But first, I'd like to invite our listeners to visit the accompanying best practice posting for this podcast, Strategic Analysis Best Practice 8, Validate the Extremes. And when they go there, they'll be able to see a graphic representation of what I'm going to describe here as our example. So now, consider a customer survey performed to assess the quality of a company's product. 25 customers are asked to rate the product's quality during the first 3 months of ownership on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being unacceptable and 5 being excellent. The results show that 6 customers rate the product a 5, 10 customers rate the product a 4, 5 customers rate the product a 3, 1 customer rated the product a 2, and 3 customers rated the product a 1. Because the product was considered to be a price leader within its category, a minimum initial quality rating of 3.5 was desired. The actual quality rating received, reported as an average, was 3.6, satisfying this goal. However, examination of the data range extremes using a simple bar chart reveals that fully 20% of survey participants gave the product a 1 or unacceptable rating. Now that's a significant number of low quality ratings, and it really does warrant further investigation by the analyst and most likely the attention of and correction taken by company leaders. Now say for instance this product was a computer application training class. The 1 rating may have been received because students did not have the level of computer skills assumed by the training developers needed to be participants in this class. Subsequently, student screening for a clearly defined set of skills or class prerequisites could eliminate the low ratings. Consider the repercussions of not taking that kind of analytical action. 20% of participants may recommend against others they know from taking the course, which would have a long-term adverse impact on our company sales. Clearly, here is an example of where validating the streams provides the insight needed to be successful, and not doing so could lead to very adverse consequences.
Well, I'm a believer, but how should our listeners go about validating the extremes?
Okay, before I begin, I want to remind everyone that it is important to remember that validating the extremes is not limited to simply identifying extreme conditions, but that it implies that analysts probe deeper to identify why these anomalies exist, so to provide leaders with the information they need to make actionable decisions, even if the decision is to take no action. So let me talk about a three-step process. Step one, identify key assumptions above and below expected outcomes and outcomes at the edges of data ranges. The goal being to identify a set of likely offenders that cause model inaccuracy and drive inappropriate action. Step two, identify each of these three classes of model data for apparent omissions and anomalies, reasonableness and consistency with known realities, and third, unpredictable results at the end or at the edge of data ranges. Step three, document and or correct erroneous assumptions or outcomes. This will communicate to leaders the limitations of the models for the given circumstances, and then help him or her adjust their decisions to be more appropriate for the given conditions.
Wow, another great podcast. Let's recap what we've covered today for our listeners.
Okay.
First, we said that no model can perfectly represent a particular situation because there are just too many variables to consider in the complex work and business environments, and that due to these inaccuracies, models may output exceedingly high or low results through their data range, but most often occurring at the edges of the reported range. Next, we stated that analysts should validate the extremes in terms of the high and low ends of the data output ranges, but also any output that appears to be exceedingly high or low, regardless of where it appears in the data range, and any excessively high or low assumptions. Following our example, we provided a three-step process for validating the extremes, which included step one, identifying key assumptions above and below expected outcomes and outcomes at the edges of data ranges. Step two, examining each of these three classes of model data for apparent omissions and anomalies, reasonableness and consistency with known realities, and unpredictable results at the end of data ranges. Step three, documenting and or correcting erroneous assumptions or outcomes to communicate to leaders the limitations of the model for the given circumstances and help him or her adjust their decisions to be more appropriate to the given conditions.
Absolutely on target. Karen, I want to thank you again for joining me this edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast and standing in for Howard tonight.
You're welcome. I'm glad to have been here.
Thank you. And I'll look again forward to seeing you, or our listeners will look forward to hearing you again on some future episodes.
Would love to do it.
All right. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast. We would appreciate receiving your feedback by email at podcast@strategydriven.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider voting for us on Podcast Alley and visiting our website at www.strategydriven.com. Note that additional information regarding strategic analysis is contained within the Strategic Analysis White Paper, accessible by registered members on the Strategy Driven website. Registered members also gain access to the many strategy-driven white papers, models, and members-only categories, and registration is always free. Until next time, so long.